Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. You know, immunotherapy is super popular right now and very all the buzz in veterinary medicine. And we're going to talk about how immunotherapy is changing cancer management and veterinary medicine. And with me today is my friend, Dr. LaCroix. Hi, Dr. LaCroix.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, no, I've been waiting for this moment, as you know, because I'm a big fan of this. So, and I want our audience to hear about this. So Dr. LaCroix received his DVM from Purdue University, then went to the coldest place in North America, the University of Saskatchewan. I even practiced and I got it wrong. to do a small animal medicine and surgery internship. From there, Dr. LaCroix went to UC Davis to complete a medical oncology residency and graduate school, and was a postgraduate researcher at the Center for Companion Animal Health. After Davis, he made his way to private specialty practice in Central Florida, followed by a stint at Oklahoma State University as an associate professor and endowed chair, before returning to Purdue University as an associate professor and chief of clinical oncology. After leaving academics, Dr. LaCroix spent time private in specialty practice at the VCA Veterinary Specialty Center in Indianapolis before joining the R&D team at Elanco Animal Health. Before joining Torigen, he was director of clinical cells for MedVet Medical and Cancer Centers for Pets, overseeing research in over 20 specialty hospitals. He is board certified in medical oncology and author of over 40 peer-reviewed publications. Dr. LaCroix is currently the chief medical officer at Torigen. My goodness, all those vet schools.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes me old or just have a volatile personality and can't keep a job. I don't know, but I've done a few things.
That's incredible. Well, congratulations for all your work. This is fantastic. This is what we love about our profession, of how we're moving and advancing. I mean, think about this too. I mean, Dr. LaCroix, like immunotherapy, I don't even think we were talking about this even like 5-10 years ago. And so to our listeners, I guess let's break it down. What exactly is immunotherapy?
Well, I think I define it this way. Historically, I've essentially used something sharp to deal with cancer, to cut it out, or waged chemical warfare against cancer, treating it with chemotherapy. We think about radiation, and on the human side, those are really the classic three pillars of oncology. And with immunotherapy, we're trying to now use the body's own innate defenses to our advantage. So whether that's stimulating an immune response to go and fight cancer, or perhaps it's really trying to deal with the immunosuppression that cancer can create. Cancer is pretty tricky. And one of the things it does is either recruit into the kind of microenvironment these T regulatory cells that are immunosuppressive, and actually, in health, they're supposed to moderate that immune response we generate. But in the case of cancer actually recruits them and makes a nice environment for them to grow and thrive, and thwarts the rest of the immune system from coming in and fighting cancer. So sometimes that's the way you come at it, is just get rid of that immunosuppression.
Mm-hmm. So you have that. And then I guess the big answer, or the big question, is like, how does that really work in oncology?
Yeah. So I think, an example that probably many of your listeners are going to be familiar with is just the idea of metronomic chemotherapy. You give low doses daily of a alkylating agent like cyclophosphamide or chlorambucil, along with a COX-2 inhibitor NSAID. And what those do is actually deplete the body of T regulatory cells, so it overcomes that immune suppression that the cancer is driving, and that allows the rest of the immune system, the T cells, the cytotoxic T cells, to come in and kill cancer. So that's really what drives that effect of metronomic chemotherapy. The other thing is, I think, the canine melanoma vaccine from BI, right? And that stimulates the immune system to recognize a protein found in melanoma called tyrosinase. And they just formulate that DNA plasmid to drive the response against human tyrosinase, but that really cross-reacts with the canine version. So that's how you get the immune response there. So those are kind of the ways we think about, driving that immune response to fight cancer.
Well, there seems that there's so many great benefits from immunotherapy then, right?
And I think one of the things that we're finding is that it was, I don't know, a couple of years ago now, a group, a Canadian group published on attitudes of pet owners regarding chemotherapy and treating cancer. And, you know, as the majority, it was like 60% or so of dog owners would never choose chemotherapy to manage their pet because they had fears for adverse events. And I think when we look at, you know, the safety profile of the melanoma vaccine, just how well tolerated metronomic chemotherapy is, and certainly with the autologous vaccine we're working on, you know, the adverse event rates are quite low. So for owners that are fearful of, you know, adverse events, then immunotherapy is something that I think has a lot to offer. For those owners that want to do everything, right? They're kind of owners that are in it to win it, and they want to add everything they can, then this is something that does actually work in concert with radiation therapy and chemotherapy. So it's something you can add to other treatment plans.
That's what I love too, because explaining that to pet parents, it has such a, for some reason, when you think of chemotherapy from a pet parent perspective, it's almost has like a negative connotation, like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be sick or whatever. But when you talk about immunotherapy, I feel like the pet parents truly understand it. It's multimodality, and you're right. They are, a lot of them are all in it to really do what's best for their fur baby. So having those options and that integrative approach must be really monumental.
Right. I think that's, you know, where this really fits in. Plus, you know, many forms of immunotherapy can be done either at the specialist's or at the GP's office. So I think it's adaptable that way as well. So for owners, you know, I mean, there's places in the country where you don't have, you know, a specialty practice every third city block. So right. You know, for folks that are geographically far away, that's nice that they can do this in their practice.
Yeah. So speaking of that, that's what I was just going to ask you. I mean, as a general practitioner myself, is this, what options are there for immunotherapy?
Yeah. So, you know, metronomic chemotherapy is one that can be, you know, administered pretty easily. And really kind of the way you play lawyer ball to get around all the regulations, you know, regarding handling cytotoxic chemotherapy drugs is to just work with the compounding pharmacies, and they send that directly to the client. So you don't have to take possession of that. Don't have to worry about complying with all the regulations in your practice. So that simplifies things. And, you know, these protocols are well tolerated. So there's really minimal trips to the office for monitoring blood work and those kinds of things. Because I think that sometimes gets in the way of, you know, a complicated chemotherapy protocol like CHOP, is that the owners don't want to roll in, you know, once a week for, you know, getting chemotherapy and the like, or even the other protocols where, you know, you're rolling in every 21 days for treatment, but then you need blood work, you know, in the middle of that. And for a lot of owners, just that time resource isn't available to them. So for a lot of the immunotherapy things, those are, you know, much, much less complicated. And like, you know, our autologous cancer vaccine, that's one that, you know, we take unprocessed or unfixed tissue, you know, hasn't seen formalin yet. And we create an autologous cancer vaccine that's going to have all the important antigens to present to the immune system that are relevant to that individual in their tumor in that location. And that varies from, you know, patient to patient. So we're able to create that customized, individualized vaccine for a particular patient. And it's cancer type agnostic and species agnostic. So we've made vaccines for dogs and cats, ferrets. We see a lot of ferret tumors recently. We've made vaccines for skunks, for exotic animals like tigers. So, you know, really is as long as they have a functioning immune system, we made some for birds, then we can, you know, make a vaccine to really drive that immune response.
I mean, that's just so fascinating as a veterinarian, because, you know, we do have obviously many species that we deal with, and the fact that you can customize a vaccine for them is incredible. So what are their side effects? Are there any side effects or anything like that with
Right, early in the day. But yeah, so with the autologous vaccine, really the autologous part just means that the source of antigens comes from the patient. So the side effects we've seen aren't that much different than any other kind of immune, you know, treatment like a vaccine for an infectious disease. So there was a series that we published at the end of last year on 93 dogs. And they had some swelling and redness at the injection site. They had a little bit of lethargy, you know, kind of malaise. But the overall adverse event rate was right around 12%. And they were all grade 1 adverse events, and none required any intervention by the veterinarian. We're working on a larger data set now with 265 dogs over a 2-year period, and the adverse event rates right around 5% in that larger group. So really, when you think about, you know, chemotherapy, there was a publication recently that looked at hemangiosarcoma in dogs, and they got doxorubicin-based chemotherapy, and 20% of those dogs ended up in the hospital due to adverse events, and 40% of the dogs had some kind of adverse event reported, usually vomiting or missing meals, things like that. So I think, you know, a lot of these immunotherapies compare favorably to, you know, the adverse event profile for chemotherapy or radiotherapy.
So walk me through the process then. So say, for instance, if I'm going to, let's just say I diagnose a mast cell tumor in a dog.
Yeah.
And I'm the general practitioner. Margins are fine. Like, I can go wide. It's on like the flank or whatever. Fairly confident I got enough of it. And I want to use an autologous vaccine. How does that process work? Walk me through that.
Yeah, so we actually provide anyone who asks a free tumor collection kit that has all the materials they need to create a vaccine in it. So they take the fresh, unfixed tissue, put it in the vial. There's a prepaid FedEx overnight shipping label. So that comes to our lab. We do the stuff that's, you know, kind of the secret sauce as far as fixing the cells, adding the adjuvant, and creating the vaccine product. I could tell you, but then I have to kill you. So, essentially we inactivate the cancer cells. So there's no chance of, you know, seeding the tumor, things like that. And the fixative that we use actually helps to stick the adjuvant to the cancer cells. And then that's shipped back to you, typically within 72 hours. And the dose is just a 1 mL subcutaneous injection once a week for 3 consecutive weeks. So the protocol can be completed, in a fraction of the time that we think about for radiation or chemotherapy. And just actually a couple of weeks ago, we had a publication that came out in BMC Veterinary Research, and you can find that online. It's an open access article, but it showed our experience with treating a metastatic hemangiosarcoma. What we found was that the dogs that got surgery followed by the vaccine had the same outcome as dogs that had surgery followed by maximum tolerated dose chemotherapy. So I think, you know, we're starting to now see the, you know, efficacy build as well. And, you know, it takes a while. We're a startup company, right? And so it takes a while to start to generate all the evidence that, you know, when I was an oncologist or, you know, faculty member, you wanted all the evidence in place before you'd change your habits. And so we're working to get that developed.
It's incredible. I find it incredibly fascinating and something that I really look forward to about it. So where can we find more information about this?
Yeah, so you hit the Webernets and you go to Torigen, that's TORIGEN.com, and that gets you to the website, and there's a link on there where you can either ask for more information, you can request a free tumor collection kit, and those kits actually have enough to submit 3 tumor samples. So it has everything you need. And then if you send email to info@torigen.com, then depending on the nature of your question, that'll get distributed to whomever. So if it's kind of a medical thing, it'll come to me. If it's more along the lines of, hey, how do I, you know, get a kit, or, you know, what do I do with things? So we can, you know, get that question to the person most appropriate to answer it for you.
I just find it, again, I keep saying it over and over again, but I've sat in on your webinars before. I find it fascinating. I'm always learning more and more. The website is, I like that it's both veterinary friendly and pet parent friendly too. So there's information for both, which is yeah, really nice. So our listeners need to check it out at torigen.com. And Dr. LaCroix, where can we find more information about you? Are you on LinkedIn or anywhere?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. I used to be, you know, a lot more active on social media, but these days that's just, kind of one more drain. So I've just kind of scaled back from that. I'm occasionally on Twitter at OncoDVM. So you can find me there. But yeah, on LinkedIn is probably the more respectable social media these days, right?
Right. No, it's true. I'm on Instagram, but it's I love them all. And I'm on TikTok too, Dr. LaCroix. So if you want a good laugh, you got to check me over at TikTok.
Having young adult kids, I've had to, you know, I'm aware of the Insta and, you know, you watch my fair share, probably more than my fair share of TikTok. So,
I love it. I'm telling you, it's what gets us through the pandemic. I'm telling you, Dr. LaCroix, thank you so much for your time, and stay safe to everyone out there.
You bet. Thanks, Adam. And have a great one.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to our listeners. Always be careful out there. Take care of your fur babies. Stay possum. We'll see you next week. Take care. you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.